With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of On the Line. Today, we are speaking a lot about fragrance. I have Amy, who is the founder of, and this is where I want to ask you, how do I say it? Is it Sana Jardin?
Sana Jardin.
Okay, Sana Jardin. So you have a fragrance brand, and I want to tell everybody how I discovered your fragrance brand first. And I honestly, this is a true story. I was out getting chicken wings with my friends on a Friday night, and my friend George was beside me, and I was like, oh my God, George, you smell so good. And he was like, thanks. And he pulled out one of your fragrances from his backpack. It was Sandalwood Temple Number 4.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes.
And I was completely smitten with this fragrance. Mm. And I bought it and I've gone through a bottle of it. And he's like, it's the only fragrance that he wears.
I'm so happy to hear this. And stories like this make my day because you never know where the fragrance is spread. So I'm curious how George heard about it. And I
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah.
He's like a very cool photographer dude and like covered in tattoos. So I wouldn't think you're typical demographic, but maybe it is.
Well, in some ways, it's one of our target markets, actually. So men love Sandalwood Temple and men love Tiger by Her Side. And
right.
I feel like it's always sort of the men in fashion, like edgy, super chic, super cool,
right,
super progressive, who like that one. So he fits in perfectly. The chicken wing thing, I'm not sure that fits in, but yeah.
If I smelled a man who was wearing Tiger by Her Side, I would melt. I would really, truly melt. And when I saw Tiger by Her Side, I have a little rollerball. I was convinced you named it after me because I used to have a greyhound. He was a brindle, so he looked like a tiger. And I always felt like I had a tiger by my side. So that I love that fragrance. And I love that name.
That makes me so happy. And Tiger by Her Side was one of the first names that I came up with. And it's based on a myth, an ancient Egyptian myth, that women used to use, high priestesses used to use essential oils to raise their vibration so high that they could calm wild animals around them.
Oh.
And there's times in my life when I need that and when I think of that story and I think to myself, okay, Amy, you need to be, you know, calm and centered and focused and really in your power. And I think about that and I envision it. And that's why I named the perfume that, because I feel like actually the scent of the perfume really does make you feel centered and powerful and feminine and strong.
Yeah.
And reminds us of our inner strength. And yeah, I call it power in a bottle. It's sort of like, you know, when you need a lift and you just put on red lipstick because you just need that boost. That's what I feel like Tiger by Her Side is. So like you, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's my, I'm so happy that you like it.
I do really agree. And it's not the typical scent that I would go for necessarily because it's quite sweet. Does that make sense? Is it sweet? It's thick. It's thick. Yeah.
It's thick. Yeah. It's intense.
It is. But yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Those days when because I have a lot of perfumes. Like, seriously, it's a problem. But there's certain days where I will rummage through my fragrance just to find that.
Aww.
And I really, truly love it. It's kind of hard to talk about fragrance verbally, isn't it?
It is.
Is that something that you've learned to do better since starting this brand?
It's something that I've learned is a commercial challenge. And I guess, yeah, something that I've learned to do better since starting this brand. But I think that there's, when people love fragrance, there's really an understanding and there's almost an intuitive language that we speak.
Mm.
And because it resonates so much with us and, you know, certain scents bring back so many memories, even if it's just for one fleeting little second,
yes,
you know, you're back in that space or you're back in that period of joy or comfort or or pleasure. There's lots and lots of words. I'm probably too effusive when it comes to fragrance. If anything, I need to start
toning it down.
Toning it down a bit,
no,
yeah.
Never. I actually did a candle making course on the weekend in East London. I think the guys from that will be on the show soon. And we spent about an hour just talking about scent and the sense of smell and how it's one of those things kind of like breathing where you kind of forget that it exists almost because it happens kind of automatically. But actually, scent is such an important sense. Scent is such an important sense to have and just the memories attached to it. Like you were saying, it's maybe one of the strongest ways to get back into a memory, I find.
And what I always find incredible is, I mean, for example, one of my first boyfriends who I just was mad about, and he wore a certain deodorant. I don't know if they even make it anymore. But after we broke up, and I was so heartbroken, and I kept it in my memory box. And so every once in a while, you know, I'll go back and I'll smell it just so for that like little tiny fleeting second you're back in that moment. And then the memory passes. But it's amazing how you're literally transported there for a moment.
God, we're the same. When I was in this candle making class, we had to go around the room and talk about our favorite scent. And everyone was like, popcorn, fresh grass, you know, whatever it is. And I was like, I really like to wear like the t-shirt of a man I'm in love with. Like, that's like my thing. Like
100%.
A t-shirt or like that deodorant or just like that manly, like
whatever
it is. I'm going to need to find some deodorants to bring me back to some good times in my life. Okay, so enough about that for now. I really want to talk about why you started the brand. And I always like to talk to brand founders about what they were doing before they started this brand. So if you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
Yes. I hope it's not too long of a story.
We have an hour.
Okay. So my background is in the nonprofit sector. So, and this is something that I've been devoted to, my mission of trying to help people who I felt like were less fortunate than I was since I was 15 years old, actually. So, my first job after school was working with children who were developmentally disabled and low income for the state of Illinois, where I'm from. I got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree in social work. And I did direct practice with low-income children and families in my early 20s. And I realized at that stage that I could be more effective working on a macro level, trying to create change and trying to empower people economically. So what that meant for me was transitioning from working in a family setting, like a more clinical setting in hospitals or schools or domestic violence shelters, to working for a foundation where we were able to fund programs that could empower people economically. And the reason that that's important in the journey of the creation of Sana Jardin is because I feel like I've always been looking for a way to help people, and I've always been looking for an innovative and effective way to do that. So then in my 20s and 30s, I worked for different nonprofit organizations, the Robin Hood Foundation in New York, which Americans who may be listening to this, especially New Yorkers, will smile when they hear that because it's a very beloved organization. I was very proud to work there. And then I was a pro bono advisor for President Clinton's foundation. And then before I started Sana Jardin, I was a governing trustee for the Cherie Blair Foundation to support women entrepreneurs. And so throughout all of those positions, I started thinking that the next iteration of social change was through business and harnessing the power of commerce to empower women and not more traditional philanthropies. I came to want to work in this field also through my grandmother, actually, because my grandmother in 1968 started a foundation to empower women economically in developing countries. And she kind of tucked me in her suitcase and took me around the world, especially the Middle East and North Africa. And so I developed a great affinity for that region. So there were a few things, you know, there was a few little threads that were sewn together when I started the business. So one was my desire to create social change. The other was really a genuine obsession with perfume and fragrance. As a teenager, going back to Tiger by Her Side and Amber, I used to smoke cigarettes in my bedroom and then, you know, spray all of this amber perfume around so my parents wouldn't smell it.
As if they wouldn't smell it through that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It just makes it worse. But and I lived in the Middle East for a few years. And I've always loved perfume. And then at the same time, I was involved with some fashion organizations, in particular one that's a nonprofit that's based in New York called Nest, which works to make the supply chain more ethical and transparent and sustainable in fashion. And I was thinking, why hasn't anyone done this in fragrance or in perfume? You know, I don't really feel like there's been a light shown on the workers in that part of the world. And I knew that a lot of the raw materials for perfume had come from Morocco. And so, and I could never find a fragrance that I liked on the market. I told you this is a really long story.
I'm literally gripped. Keep going.
So it was just sort of percolating in my head for a few years. And I had little tiny kids at the time. And I was thinking, God, I don't know. If I start this perfume, I want to do it in a way to create social change, and I can talk about that a little bit later. But it was a big leap of faith. It was a big leap of faith. And I remember sitting on a beach in Miami with two of my best friends.
That sounds like fun.
It was fun. And being scared to death, really. I mean, it was sort of like when a woman is pregnant and you have contractions and you get like closer and closer and closer to giving birth. So I was thinking, I couldn't get this business idea off my mind. And I'm not a business person. You know, I've been in the nonprofit sector my whole life. So starting a business was extremely daunting to me. And I was sitting with two of my best friends. So one who had started One Coconut Water and sold it to Pepsi.
Yeah.
And then the other who was the founding director of social innovation for Warby Parker.
Well, like, girl, I need to start hanging out with you and your friends.
I'm really lucky. And they're still, they're investors in the business. They're great advisors for me. I mean, they were my two bridesmaids in my wedding. And so we're sitting there drinking rosé and I'm saying, can I do this? I mean, really, can I do this? And they were like, you just have to go for it.
I can see that drunken conversation now. Like, of course you can do it.
Exactly. And then the next day, one of them said, okay, well, let me invite this woman in perfume over. And then it all just rolled from there. And serendipitously, so many doors opened. And so we launched in 2017.
I have a lot of things to say about all of that. But I think the main thing is I have a lot of brand founders on this show and a lot of women. And I think that's kind of what I'm trying to do with this show a little bit is inspire those listening who are trying to get, you know, into business, women in business. And the one thing that I love about this is listening to everybody's stories, how those little threads are kind of just there in the background. And next thing you know, boom. Something happens and something clicks. And it seems like everyone on this show kind of feels like this idea that is within them just has to be done, just has to be created. It's that feeling that won't go away.
100%. And speaking of another female founder who you might want to have on your show if you haven't already, I don't know, but a woman, Sahar Hashemi, who co-founded Coffee Republic. And she's been very helpful to me. And she told me the story of Zen entrepreneurism. And it said a business was actually born before the person who created it. The story has already been created. It's just the person is a vehicle to do that. And so I thought, to me, I like to think that there's always kind of a cosmic level to everything. And things are fated. And so that is sort of the way I look at when people start businesses, that the journey was already laid out
for
them.
Well, I just got my tarot cards read on the weekend. I had a very full weekend, Amy. So I got my tarot cards read, and she was saying a very similar thing to me when she read my... I don't get my cards read very often, so this was a fun thing for me. But she was basically saying, everything is there. You just have to really take a step back. And I think that intuition is something that, especially today, is so hard to hone into because there's so many distractions. Mm. So, okay, now you've got your business and it's kind of easier to see those threads maybe, but in the moment were you like confused at all about it, or was it very clear for a long time to start this fragrance business?
I was very confused. I was very scared. I would say those would be the two overarching emotions, and confused because this is not my skill set. I mean, starting a perfume company has nothing to do with my 20 years in another sector. So I was scared because of my lack of knowledge, and I was confused because of my lack of knowledge. But I also felt like, in terms of sort of intuition, I kept getting all of these signs and I couldn't refuse it. I just couldn't refuse it. It was everywhere I turned, there was another message that I needed to do this.
Yes.
And I understand very much what you're saying, where it's so hard to have clarity. You know, we can be so distracted, and I feel like we spend so much time putting out so many fires that we never really have time to kind of channel that deeper knowledge. But it is there.
How do you stay so centered? Do you do yoga? I ask everyone on the show, do you do yoga?
I don't do yoga. Okay. And I should.
Meditate? Well, anything?
I do Bikram yoga when I'm in my hometown of Chicago, only because it's a tiny little town, so the space is really big, so other people's sweat don't get on me.
I relate to that because I'm from suburban Canada, and there's a Bikram yoga studio there, and that's the only place I would ever go near a class like that.
It's exactly that. And so every single day without fail, I'm at that studio when I'm in Chicago. But other than that, I feel like I just don't have time to do yoga. I'm too busy putting out fires. And then I don't know. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of energy healing, actually. And try and get into that type of heart space whenever I have a little bit of free time.
Got it. So you're a crystal lover.
Yes. Yes. Even my son, I was maybe too much because a couple of days ago, well, two nights ago now, my son, who's 7, he had a bunch of crystals in his room. And that I'd given him and that his father had given him. And he said, oh, it's time to clean the crystals.
Oh, I love that.
And I was like, no, you're going to bed. It's not a full moon yet. You can only clean them.
Well, wasn't it just a full
moon? It was.
I didn't sleep that whole night. Yeah. Was it? Mm-hmm. It wasn't yesterday. It was the night before,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But I had to use it as an excuse so he would go to sleep. I think he just didn't want to go to sleep.
That's a white crystal lie.
Exactly.
Okay. Let's just bring it back in, Estee. But these are the things I'm interested in. Now, back to the starting a fragrance brand and company. I remember many years ago, I said to my agents, maybe I should just start a fragrance brand or something like that. And they were like, absolutely not. It's the hardest space to get into. It's the hardest thing to sell. Like everywhere and everyone that I spoke to is like, bad idea, big risk. I'm sure you heard that a lot as well. Did you?
People might have been more polite. I wish that they had been that straightforward with me because I had no idea how hard that it would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly with how much it takes to build a brand, I had absolutely no idea. With fragrance is hard because in this age of Instagram, you know, you're not going to take a picture spraying yourself with perfume. That just seems a little bit tacky. Yeah. And, you know, how can you do a cool, I know for me, I always get into the Instagram rabbit hole and I'm always loving like fashion and everything. But if you see somebody holding a product, it just...
Yes, it's holding hard to a do product that in is very dated, way. Yes.
Yeah. So, yes, I can appreciate what those people told you because I do think it's a very hard industry to get into. I think what is nice for us is that, of course, people are so interested now in sustainability and social impact. And I started it really from my heart, but I think it so happens that it coincides with a time in history where people are interested in conscious consumerism. And so because we're one of the only sustainable fragrances on the market, that has served us well. If we didn't have that USP, I think...
You could have been a little fish in a big pond, maybe.
Yeah, I think we're still a very little fish in a big pond, but I think that has been helpful.
Okay, so let's talk about the brand. So... Tell me a little bit about your fragrance brand because you'll speak about it much better than I ever will. I'm just going to be like, I love your perfume.
You're so sweet and I love that you love it. Thank you. So, well, you know, as I've been kind of chit-chatting about, so I started it really as a vehicle for social change. So the main USP, the heart of the business, is based on something that we call the Beyond Sustainability model. And so what we mean by that is that, you know, there's many businesses that operate in a sustainable way, leaving a net neutral impact on the environment and paying employees fair wages. And what I wanted to do was create an alternative business model where we could take the waste from perfume production and upcycle that, give that waste to the women who harvest the flowers so that they can sell their own products from that and become their own micro entrepreneurs.
And has that happened?
Yes. So we worked in collaboration with Nest, again, the nonprofit that I mentioned earlier. We established a legally recognized cooperative in Morocco for the women who harvest the flowers. And they have been trained to make orange blossom water, which is one of the waste products from the perfume production, and scented candles, which they convert, scented candles, which they sell. And so they receive a revenue from that. And they've been trained in financial literacy and branding and sales and essentially how to be their own micro entrepreneurs.
Wow.
So it's an alternative business model.
Right.
And I think it can be applied in any industry, you know, not just fragrance. It can be applied in fashion. It can be applied in furniture creation, anything where we can, if we're creative with our use of waste, we can give that back to the people at the start of the supply chain and they can create their own businesses out of it.
Right. Do you think if someone is starting a brand, say tomorrow, that that element must be there in the business to succeed?
I think a sustainable element needs to be there. I think right now, I think it'd be very hard to start a brand right now that doesn't have any sustainable elements. And I don't think that any brand is 100% sustainable. You know, we're all evolving, we're all learning, we're all really doing our best. And certainly that's the case at Sonne Jardin. I mean, there is a constant learning curve. But I think right now, I think that this movement towards conscious consumerism is so strong and so powerful and has become so mainstream that I think people are really looking to brands to be, in a way, like the gatekeepers of humanity because they don't trust the government anymore. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So yes, I very much think that a brand needs to tick some sustainable boxes in order to be successful if they're starting now.
Yeah. How are these huge brands and corporations getting away with not having that element? Maybe some do, but do consumers just turn a blind eye? I mean, I'm obviously guilty of it because I often feel like smaller businesses that are just up and coming are looked at with such a magnifying glass. Mm. But then you have a huge brand like L'Oreal, for instance, which I'm definitely going to lose a lot of money for saying that. just kidding, but also not. You know, they're looked at, but it's just kind of I feel like the majority of people will just walk into the drugstore and buy the products. But if you're somebody who's buying a product from a smaller brand, it's like you are looking at everything they're doing. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that?
And they're scrutinized.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah. And I think all brands are being scrutinized right now. And I think it's like the Wild West in a way because, you know, some brands like L'Oreal, they could very well have embedded sustainable business practices that they haven't communicated yet.
That's right.
So I think some brands are hesitant to communicate what they do that's sustainable because they don't want to hold themselves out to be scrutinized.
Absolutely. I mean, I work with Garnier quite a lot. And I actually was in Morocco with them because they have a cooperative there for their argan oil products. Mm. And it was amazing to see, actually. But I know that, for instance, if they ever talk about that or if I mention it in a video, people are like, yeah, but this is greenwashing. And what about this? And what about that? And this is what they're doing. So I can understand why a brand would be nervous to even talk about it, because then once you say it once, you're really held accountable.
100%. Yeah. I mean, that's why I say it's like the Wild West right now.
Yeah.
But I think I would like to think that every brand is trying to do their best.
Yes. I'd like to think that as well. Well, that's kind of a really exciting time to be in this space then, in a way. I mean, I bet a lot of companies are looking to you and seeing what you're doing to kind of implement that, which is actually only a good thing.
That you're so kind to say that. I would love if they were. I'm not sure if they are, but really, you know, coming from the lens that I come from, whatever happens with Sana Jardin in the future, ultimately, I want it mostly to be known for an alternative business model that hopefully can be replicated and that has embedded more humanitarian values into the supply chain.
Yes.
And can be used as an inspiration for other businesses.
So back to the fragrances. You mentioned earlier that there was nothing on the market that you liked before.
Yeah.
So how did you start coming up with fragrances that were different and set you apart from some of those bigger players in the industry?
Well, so that, thank you for that question, because that's an easy question. So.
Is it?
Yes. So for me, it comes back to Mother Nature. You know, everything that I smelled, to me, smelled very complicated, synthetic, commercial, mass. Nothing smelled unique. And I've been lucky to travel a lot in my life and, you know, encounter beautiful orange blossom in Morocco and beautiful sandalwood in India. And I could never find anything that smelled very pure.
Okay.
And so I suppose that was, from a fragrance perspective, that was really the main mission with most of our fragrances. They are, I think, four or five of them are what you would call single note. So although different oils and different essences go into them, they come out smelling single note. So I really just wanted to recreate what we've smelled in Mother Nature.
Right. So can we talk about the formula of a fragrance? Because I know there are obviously top notes, middle notes, base notes. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're formulating it, do you kind of go into it thinking, this is what I want the top note to be, this is what I want? Oh, you don't do that.
I didn't mean to interrupt your question.
No, she was
by
just shaking my head for those listening.
So for me, I don't do that because that would be the perfumer's job.
Okay.
The nose. So he would structure it and create the frame, he or she. We work with Carlos Benaim, who's a man, so that's why I'm saying he. But so he structures it. And I feel like noses are really, they're sort of half scientists, half artists.
Yeah.
And then they would develop that structure. For me, how I would write a brief to him, to Carlos at IFF, would be what I ultimately wanted it to smell like and who I envision the type of wear, because that helps them, and what notes I think might add to that type of smell. But ultimately, that's the nose's job.
To be a nose, that is the most interesting job, isn't it? I just love the name nose.
I know.
How do you become a nose? Okay. No one knows. Oh, my.
Oh, dear. Well, in Carlos's case, and we were so lucky. I don't know if you know who Carlos Benaim is.
I don't. I'm not very well-versed in this world.
Oh, so he's like a living legend. So he's been at IFF, International Fragrance and Flavors, for, I think, almost 50 years. He was the first person who they gave the title Master Perfumer to. He did Polo Green. He did a lot of the Frederick Malle fragrances, Calvin Klein Eternity. He's considered one of the best noses in the world. And he took on the project. We were introduced, again, it was all serendipitous. We were introduced and he said, something in my heart is telling me to do this, because it was much too small for him, obviously. And it turns out that actually although he's dubbed a Spanish perfumer, he's actually Moroccan. So the social impact work resonated with him. But for him, I mean, his story was, again, I mean, it's sort of like anyone's life journey to live your soul purpose. He was in France and sort of fell into this job. And then you have scientific training and they have a big laboratory, you know, with all of these different essences. And
is it as amazing as you're making it sound?
Am I making it sound amazing?
I think so. A laboratory filled with essences. That sounds great.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals.
Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
That's when I went, it was probably a couple of years ago now when almost 3 years ago now when we were doing the fragrances together, and I had the opportunity to go see the lab in New York. And it was just so fun because you're smelling all these different variations of orange blossom. And I remember there was a Crosby, Stills and Nash song playing in the background, and it just
made sense.
Exactly.
Yeah. Have you ever written him a brief and he's come back and you're like, nope, don't like it?
Yeah, of course. So that's what's called so they then give you a submission. So you write the brief, and then they give you a submission of maybe two or three or four different samples. And then from there, then you would have a dialogue about what you like and what you don't like. So the process, and sometimes it can take 2 or 3 years to make a perfume because there's so many different iterations.
Right.
With Carlos and I, we have a very intuitive understanding, I think, of what we like. We both have similar taste, which I say with a smile on my face because I know that we're talking about senses here. So with Carlos and
Well, fragrant, like smelling. So just to go back to my candle making course, because right. I think this is an important point. When we were there, we did a blind smelling test, a blind scent test. And he said when we were opening, he's like, open up your mouth because a large part of your scent is actually through your taste buds. So taste is a kind of related, I think.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that before, but
maybe
I
he made it up.
It makes sense.
Because think about it: if you've got a cold, you don't taste anything.
It's true.
So, I mean, that's the very little knowledge I know, but I just learned it on the weekend. And maybe it's not even true.
No, let's just throw it right in and apply it. Yes.
Sorry, go back to what you were saying. You've got very similar taste, so it's intuitive. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So with Carlos and I, the process has been just a delightful, delightful dance, actually, and we can create something that we both really love pretty quickly.
Right. Okay. So did you work with him right off the start? Okay. So you create these fragrances. How many fragrances did you first start with, and how many do you have now?
Well, originally I just wanted to start with one, mm-hmm. which was the orange blossom, which we call Berber Blonde.
I love the name. I'm a blonde. You're a blonde.
And I named it after my sons, actually. I have two sons. Everyone thinks I named it after myself. And I think I would never, ever name something after myself. But I have two sons who are a quarter Berber and very blonde. So
great.
I named it after them. And it was really because I could never find an orange blossom that I liked on the market. Mm. And I always say that I went from the souk in Oman to Barney's in L.A. and I couldn't find what I wanted. So I wanted just to start that one.
Yeah.
And going back to, you know, drinking rosé on the beach in Miami, I was saying to my friends, okay, well, I just want to start the one. Can I do that? And they said yes. But then, you know, as the journey continued and I spoke to more people who were more commercial, then I realized that in order to get, at least what I heard was, in order to get into stores, you had to start with 7.
Oh, right.
So we started with 7. So we have Berber Blonde, which is the orange blossom. We have Tiger by Her Side, which is amber, which I actually like to layer. I wear the Tiger by Her Side on my skin at night, and then the Berber Blonde.
At night?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
What
there's nighttime fragrances?
I feell like to me, tell your body.
Oh, like at night when you're going out. Yeah, oh, I thought you meant like before bed.
No.
And I was like, this is a whole new world for me.
No, I mean, you could definitely do that too to create whatever kind of mood you want.
Well then. Okay. So, and can we talk about, exactly when you'd wear these fragrances in your life? I always find that really interesting. So Berber Blonde, when would you wear that?
All day long.
Okay.
All day long.
Yeah.
And kind of especially if I'm running late and I haven't had time to wash my hair.
Yeah.
Like getting out the door. And then Tiger by Her Side I would wear in the evening on my skin. And I would put Berber Blonde, the orange blossom, in my hair. So you have kind of like a floral aura when you move your head around.
I need Berber Blonde.
Well, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
We'll send it over. And then Jaipur Chant is one that I've been really, really sort of obsessed with lately. It's our latest one. It's our eighth. And that is tuberose from South India. So it's very, all of them I think were created to be warm and inviting and elegant and almost like a refined interpretation of essential oils. So Jaipur Chant, I'm wearing that right now. I wear that all day long. Sandalwood Temple. The one that your friend, on the chicken wing night was wearing.
Maybe it wasn't chicken wings, but I'm pretty sure it was. It's whatever.
So Sandalwood Temple, I think, can be worn day and night. I almost feel like that's a base.
Yeah.
And again, that's the one, that's our second bestseller. So Jaipur Chant is our first bestseller now. We just released it. Sandalwood Temple, I think because it really appeals to men and women. And, you know, you could wear that day or night. Revolution de la Fleur. So that one is very feminine, very floral. It has frangipani and ylang ylang. And ylang ylang is an essential oil that's known to strengthen your heart chakra. So that I think you can wear day or night.
Lovely. Is that, and that's not all of them. What else is
there? So then there's Celestial Patchouli, which is the most. So most of the line I created, because it was fragrances that I love that I couldn't find on the market. Some in the line aren't necessarily my favorites, but I felt like, you know, I needed to have a complete line. So Celestial Patchouli is very exotic, very spicy, very heady, very like intense. That to me would be more nighttime.
Yeah.
And then there's Savage Jasmine.
Oh, I love that name.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, for me, you know, I really love the combination of, I think, something that's traditionally feminine but very strong.
Yes.
So that is.
I love jasmine.
Oh, so we have to send you the jasmine too, because it smells literally as if you've walked out on a hot night. And you're next to jasmine bush.
I don't want to talk about another brand, but I have the Jasmine Rouge from Tom Ford. Is that what it's called?
I know that. I have that too. Yeah. I love perfume. Yeah.
It's really nice. I really like it, but I just feel like there could be a better one.
Ours is maybe not as, it's a little bit lighter maybe.
Maybe that's it. Because it is very heavy. I love Tom Ford fragrance, but. Yeah.
Me too, 100%. And I have so many on my dressing table, like you. I mean, I'm obsessed with fragrance and always trying to find the perfect one. Ours, I would say, is not as heavy as that.
Yeah. Do you believe in having a signature scent, or do you think it kind of go with the mood? Like my mom always wears the same perfume and has done for years.
Well, I was just about to say, as a mother, I think it's so nice to have a signature scent because I think it's a wonderful gift that you give your children. You know that
that's really sweet, actually, and true.
And if, you know, as time goes by, if the mother isn't around, you know, you can slip into that moment by smelling it again and feeling her around you, which I think is one of the greatest gifts a mother can give.
I mean, I wouldn't tell my mom this, but I do have a little bottle of her perfume at home, which makes me want to cry because she lives in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, look, I'm getting emotional because that's what scent can do.
Right.
And I think scent is so experiential. But just speaking about it, I think everyone is probably nodding along like, But how do you convey that on social media?
That's the other. And then talking about, you know, if we're being really frank, talking about starting a fragrance business, so many people, of course, are committed to the perfume that they've been wearing for years and years and years. And how do you convey that on social media? That's a million-dollar question. That's what, you know, Emily and I are are always trying to figure out. We've been trying to convey that, I think, through color, sometimes through fashion. People's quotes,
yes,
you know, I think can be impactful. I think another way to do that is through music. We haven't gone there yet.
I don't know how long you're in London for.
I live here.
Oh, you live in London. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. I thought maybe you lived in New York.
No, I lived in New York at one point in my life, but no.
Oh, you live here. How long have you lived here for?
13 years.
Oh, it's the best city in the world, isn't it?
I was just telling the taxi driver exactly that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting point. I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Somebody left a comment on my video the other day and they were like, for someone who wasn't born in London, you're the most obsessed with London person that I've ever come across. And it's just, I truly love this city. Mm-hmm. And I think on the weekend I did the whole East London thing, Columbia Road Flower Market, you know, the whole thing. And it was just like, sometimes I sit back and I'm on my terrace and I have a really lovely view and I'm like, I am so lucky to live here. You have to do a London fragrance.
I'm so with you because I have a little terrace and I have a view that I really appreciate and I think the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. I should do a London fragrance. I'm going to have to think about that.
That would be hard though, because when you love something so much, how do you bottle it? I don't know what the essence of London really is.
Right.
And I always try to explain to people that, like, I love New York. I love LA. I love all places. I really do. But there's something about London that you really can't explain unless you live here for at least a couple years, I'd say. Do you agree with that?
I'm totally with you.
Yeah.
To me, I feel like, because I had a brief little stint in LA recently. And I came back appreciating London so much more than I ever have.
Yeah.
And I mean, with 2 feet firmly grounded in the earth here. And to me, I feel like it's the quality and the diversity of the people. And also, I think because in British culture, it's valued to be so polite and genteel. And so everyone is really sweet. I've had so many people say, you know, you're not from here. Do you find it hard to start a business in London? Is it easier, you know, in America? And I think on the contrary, like London, everybody just opens up their Rolodex and helps you, because there's this culture of being polite, I think. And it's like a village, as I'm sure you would experience. I don't know what neighborhood you live in, but I'm sure you feel that London is a great big village.
Yeah.
And,
my friend who lives in Manchester is like, I could never live in London. It's way too big. I was like, you're out of your mind. It's not. It does not feel big to me at all. I mean, we could really talk about London all day.
Seriously, no. It's tiny. And then, you know, I always have the sense that if I hear someone's name, I know that it's just a matter of months before I'm going to run into them.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's tiny.
Totally. And I also think London is hungry for exciting things, especially in the beauty space. I mean, I go to a lot of beauty launches and I'm obviously obsessed with beauty and that's my job. But I just feel like London, I go to New York, I go to LA and I see all the cool things they're doing. And I always think, how can I apply that to London culture? Mm-hmm. Because it's different. Mm-hmm. You can't do really like a New York event in London. They're so different. But that's what travel does to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So definitely do a London fragrance. Yes. How do you convey that on social media? That is an interesting point. But then you see these adverts from like really, you know, Dior or whatever. And I look at them and I'm like, what are these campaigns?
I know. And at the end of the day, ultimately, I think it's, you know, it comes down, I think, for women to the person who we want to be and to have our essence and our true self be recognized. And so I think sometimes when you see a campaign of a woman in like a slinky dress, it's not relatable, really.
Right.
So then you just need to smell the fragrance. But on social media, it's trying to develop, I think, that character of who we think we are as people and then who the perfume, how we would relate to that perfume.
Is that what fragrance is? You're putting your own essence out there for the world? Is that what you're doing when you put on fragrance?
That's how I think it is. I mean, that's why I feel like it's so personal, because it's you're sending a message non-verbally to everyone around you about who you feel like you are.
And it is attention attracting. It can be. And I do know a lot of people who don't wear fragrance, which is mind-boggling to me. But in a way, it takes guts to put a fragrance on. Mm. Would you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. And I would liken it to being an artist, you know. And I mean, this is obviously two very different sides of the same continuum. But an artist, you so often hear where, you know, they feel exposed and they're doing a painting and they're nervous about showing their work to the public because it really is a deep expression of themselves. Fragrance, I don't think, is the most deep expression of yourself, but I think it is an expression of yourself that you're making public and that people are going to make judgments about. So I think that's one of the reasons too why people don't, why if you were wearing something that you didn't like, it's like you just have to go home and wash it off because it's not you. We all want to be seen for being ourselves.
And that's why it's like when you walk into, you know, a department store and they're spritzing everything and you just instantly are like, get it off me.
Right.
Yeah. Why I brought up the London thing is because, and I know you said you don't really do yoga that much, but there is a place called Chroma Yoga.
Yes.
It's in East London and it's basically, it's a yoga studio that uses light. Mm-hmm. And it's built in kind of like this womb. Mm. So the room is like round and it's cozy and the light shifts and changes with the
movements,
class.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you should try it.
I would love to try it. Yeah. And I think anything, I'm picturing something that's like embryonic.
Yes, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
And if you do a meditation class in there, it's kind of next level.
Mm.
I'm all for getting above who I am.
100%. I know.
But I also kind of sometimes need to get into my own body sometimes, even though I don't like to.
Well, now this is something I can understand as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really hard to be in our own body.
It really
is. It's very
is.
Scary, and it's much easier to go out.
I know. And I just had this guy, Will Williams. He's a meditating guru or something. I don't remember what he calls himself, but I did his meditation course and I said I couldn't do it because I don't want to be in my own brain all the time.
I know.
But you gotta be. That's what everyone keeps telling me.
I know. I feel like I understand very much where you're at. And for years I was hearing that and I kept thinking, well, why would I want to do that? Why on God's green earth would I want to be in reality? It's so much better to be sort of floating in a celestial.
It's so fun.
Yes.
And it's much easier.
And it's less painful. And it's something I've been really kind of actively working on. I mean, one like little simple thing that I do is to always have my shoes off when I'm in the grass. I don't know if anyone
has ever. It's very grounding.
Exactly. So all, you know, a lot of grounding exercises. And now I can understand a little bit more the benefit of being in your body. And I know we're really digressing here, but the benefit of being in your body because you're just so much stronger.
Yes.
And you're able, I think, to then attract what you want more and be more stable.
Well, that's exactly what Will was telling me. He was like, if you don't have inner stability, all those fires that you're putting out, they just can topple you over.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, do you take baths?
No.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe it. We're so similar, but so different.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can remember even being, I was 23 years old in graduate school and there was a yoga class. So this was 1995 and there was a yoga class across the street from my apartment. And I remember knowing and being cognizant that I needed to go to this damn yoga class, but it would stress me out too much because I always felt like I had too much to do to actually do yoga. So I'm horrible when it comes to practicing things that I feel like take up more time than I have at the moment, although I really should. But
well, it's an hour out of your day, Amy.
I know.
And if I can be more in my body, you can also be doing a yoga class. I think we can have that compromise.
I'm looking for a good Bikram somewhere in London. I'm on like a mad search for it.
I will keep that in mind. I don't do that style because I find it stressful. Mm. But I really love like a yin class, like a meditation stretching class. Mm. Or I do hot yoga. I go to a gym that has a really nice hot yoga studio. Have you tried these flotation tanks?
No.
I'm not into them either, but they sound cool.
They sound very cool.
Yeah. What else do we need to say about your fragrance? I don't think that we've mentioned the remaining.
Okay, so let's see. We have Tiger by Her Side, Berber Blonde, Savage Jasmine, Celestial Patchouli, Revolution de la Fleur, Jaipur Chant, Sandalwood Temple, Nubian Musk.
Okay.
We didn't speak about Nubian Musk.
Okay.
People kind of like the story of Nubian Musk because to me, when I wrote the brief, so when you write a fragrance brief, you know, you have, at least my process is, I have something in my mind, a person who I'm thinking about or that's an inspiration or an experience I've had that's an inspiration. And I think maybe this person would wear the fragrance, or my experience has led me to want to create that scent so I can have that memory, or mm-hmm. other people can have that memory. So Nubian Musk, it's meant to be very like primal, very animalistic, very sensual.
This is a sex fragrance.
Yeah.
I need to wear this and attract a man.
Well, and it's for men and women.
Okay.
So, and it's sort of like that.
It's like, you know what we're here for.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you wake up the next morning and you're happy that you were there for that.
Got it. Mm-hmm. That's the best feeling. I haven't had that in a hot minute. Okay, so those are the fragrances. So what's next for you? Do you want to just keep expanding? Because you're sold in some very premium places. Where are you sold? Like, where can people buy your fragrances?
We've been really, really, really lucky with our distribution. I'm going to knock on wood with that right now. So we're sold at Harrods. They mm-hmm. were our first launch partner. We're sold on Net-a-Porter, which we're thrilled with. Which, going back to the sustainability conversation, they came to us in early 2019 because they wanted to incorporate more sustainable.
That's right. They have this new kind of sustainable yes. wing. I mean, I'm an EIP. Like, I shop at Net-a-Porter. I love it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was really excited when they did that.
Exactly. So they have Net Sustain, and then they're launching that for beauty early next year. But as a company, they wanted to retail more sustainable brands. So they came to us, and we'd been talking to them for years, but they we launched with them in 2019, I think, as part of that initiative. So we now have a standalone counter at Liberty, which I'm really excited
Lovely.
And proud of.
I was just in there. I didn't even see it. Oh, where is it?
So we're next to Creed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Galeries Lafayette mm-hmm. on the Champs-Élysées in Paris, Harvey Nichols in Doha, Qatar, Sauce in the Emirates, Corso Como in Milan. We're sold at about 80 retailers around the world now.
80 retailers. Mm. That's insane. That's really great, though.
You're so sweet. You're so sweet.
That's a big think about back to that beach in Miami. Mm. And now you're sold in 80 very premium retailers.
That is all the team at Sana Jardin hustling, hustling, hustling.
How big is your team now?
So Rolando is our managing director, who I always say he's the right arm and the right leg and everything. I mean, we're about 6 people now.
Oh, wow. So it's mm-hmm. still a very small team.
Mm-hmm.
So you're working hard.
Hustle.
All day, hustle. Every day.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I feel like I learned a lot, and I just want all your fragrances now.
Aww.
Oh, my last question is, so I have the little roller ball, but you do the sprays. But are the roller balls different than the...
So we have 100 ml, which is, you know, like a large standard size.
Yep.
We have a 50 ml, which is a travel size. And then you have a roller ball, which is just a special gift for people, which we haven't we haven't started selling yet.
What?
So I know.
You have to sell those.
I know. Everyone says that, and we're trying. But we're, like I said, we're a small team, so we're, like, working as fast as we can. And we're launching candles in November. So 3
Ooh.
Candles, yes, which we're really excited about, all vegetable wax. And then a new perfume in 2020 that I'm going to take inspiration from your comment about London, because it's sitting in my inbox that I need to write the brief this week.
Perfect timing.
And then also to deepen our social impact work in Morocco.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think what you're doing is amazing. I only have brands on here that I truly love. And I personally, of course, use your fragrance, as we've been talking about. So thank you for being on the show.
Oh, Estee, thank you so much. This was such a joy. It was such a pleasure.
Yay.
I'm really honored. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's time time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.